The focus of this segment is on providing you with effective go-live support strategies. At the end of this segment, you will be able to assess the quality implications of the Big Bang versus staggered approaches to activation and to discuss go-live support strategies that minimize risk. There's a debate about whether it is better to take the Big Bang approach or to use a staged approach to introduce new technology and processes. When we speak about the Big Bang theory with respect to IT, we're not talking about the CBS sitcom or the scientific theory on the origins of the universe. Rather, we're discussing an approach to implementation of the electronic health record. With the Big Bang IT strategy, the goal is to get it over with quickly. Small practices have the best odds of succeeding with the Big Bang approach. The attraction of this approach is that it focuses the organization's energies and resources on the implementation of the EHR for an intense but relatively shorter period of time than if the project were phased in. This strategy minimizes long-term resource shortages and compresses the pain and difficulty of an IT project into a shorter period of time. The downside of the Big Bang implementation approach is that the project can be rushed, details may be overlooked, and changes to clinical processes may not be the best ones for the organization or for the patient. This type of strategy is inherently risky due to the potentially catastrophic consequences of a single flaw in the way the software has been configured or in the way processes have been re-engineered. In addition, it doesn't allow for problem identification and resolution to occur on a small scale, but rather, when problems arise, they affect all users. On the other end of the spectrum is the slower, staggered, or phased approach. Teams that use this approach transition to the new EHR incrementally in a carefully staged approach. Larger practices and practices with multiple locations may benefit from this approach. This strategy allows project teams to spend more time in the planning, customization, and pilot testing of the system while continuing with day-to-day operations. It also allows teams to stage the implementation to be consistent with clinical demands or workflow. The downside of this approach is that it often lacks the urgency and focus of a Big Bang project. It can also lead to change fatigue on the part of both the users and the project team. In comparing the two approaches, one can readily see the differences. The Big Bang approach is fast, so anxiety is short-lived, and you have the potential to have a quicker realization of return on investment. The implementation is accomplished in a shorter time frame, so you're able to maintain momentum. You don't need to worry about the problems that having to use a hybrid paper and electronic systems presents. At the same time, there's higher risk, higher anxiety, larger scope, and the need for greater numbers of resources for training and implementation support. With incremental strategies, problems are less likely to erupt, there's less anxiety and greater ability to manage implementation of incremental units, but at the same time, the implementation is slower. It takes longer to see the return on investment. There are higher training costs, and there's the potential for stagnation. The contextual implementation model, or CIM, is a way of examining how one should approach HIT implementations. Given that such implementations are ongoing and iterative, it's important to take into consideration three contextual levels of differences. These include organizational, clinical unit, and individual contextual differences. Before implementing an EHR, the implementation team should thoroughly analyze the context at organizational, departmental, and individual levels, which might have an impact on clinicians' use of the system. When analyzing the context at the organizational levels, implementation teams should look at the organizational culture, available resources, the experience the organization has with IT implementations, size and location of the organization, where they are in the implementation lifecycle, the organization's mission and strategic plan, and where IT fits into that vision. Existing structures and policies at the organizational level as these relate to the use of HIT. The roles of doctors and nurses in the organization, as well as the organization's leadership. Then, the I-team should analyze work practices at the clinical unit level. They should assess the culture of the team, the engagement level of unit leadership, any experiences the unit may have had with IT, the clinical profile of the unit, its size, and user attitudes related to use of IT. Differences in these areas can then be planned for and included in the implementation project plan. Finally, the implementation team should look at the diverse ways of working, thinking, communicating, and collaborating of individual users, as well as their computer literacy and keyboard skills. During implementation, the I-team would focus on contextual differences at individual and clinical unit levels and how these differences could be accommodated within the use of the information system. This requires detailed analysis of the functionality of the system and how different clinicians' needs could be accommodated. Computer literacy and keyboard skills would require targeted training programs. Team cultures that are constructive and supportive of innovations would be a goal implementation teams should devise strategies to modify them. Team cultures that are constructive and supportive of innovations would be a goal. Implementation teams should devise strategies to modify team cultures to ones that are receptive to change and supportive of the change process. Interventions can be devised to improve information sharing amongst team members, encourage support for innovation, provide a clear vision and objectives for staff, and thus promote a constructive culture that is receptive to innovations. Implementation of HIT represents a major transformation of care in increasingly complex healthcare systems. There are three principles that are important to keep in mind. First, diverse interactions and self-organization are critical to success. The more we can involve clinical users in the implementation planning, the greater the chance for success. Diverse interactions create more options for action. Second, complex adaptive systems cannot be highly efficient and continue to survive in the dynamic environments that characterize these continually learning and adapting systems. Leaders must expect a certain level of noise, creativity, and exploration. Finally, effective structures are the key to system behavior. The more complex the site, the greater the need for structures to ensure success. Banner Health, a large complex healthcare system in Arizona, has provided us with keys to successful system-wide implementation of IT. They've defined a structure that includes a strategic system oversight team with senior leadership members, a centralized leadership model with matrix reporting, multiple nested content and process expert teams and network layers for rapid design and redesign, hospital oversight teams with the executive leader sponsors, project management teams for each application implementation, and centralized trainers to deliver consistent training content at the facility level. Let's take a closer look at the nested teams and networks that they've created. There are operational teams, which are standing committees made up of individuals from across the health system who represent specific service areas, such as critical care or perioperative areas. These teams are responsible for standardizing operational processes and patient safety practices. Then, there are a number of clinical discipline teams, such as nursing, physicians, social workers. These teams are made up of members of a single discipline, and they're responsible for ensuring that professional practice standards are defined and addressed. Next, there are the multidisciplinary clinical consensus teams that develop practice standards related to specific patient populations or problems. Finally, there are problem-oriented ad hoc teams. These are short-lived teams that are formed to provide rapid action solutions for specific problems or interests. There are a variety of ways in which implementation support can be crafted. For smaller organizations, most software vendors either provide or can recommend external consultants to assist with implementation support or training support. Larger organizations generally find that it is better to cultivate internal consultants. You'll find a variety of names and roles for these internal support people, such as super users, coaches, or mentors. They can also be informally organized or can be a part of a more formal support pool structure. Many organizations rely on external consultants to provide training and go-live support. These individuals have expertise in the use of the particular software application being implemented and are experienced in implementing that system in a wide variety of settings. The downside of using external consultants is their lack of familiarity with specific organizational policies and workflows, and the fact that this option is usually more costly than using internal personnel. Clinical personnel, usually nurses, who have training and knowledge beyond the usual end user for the given software application, can be very valuable as a support for system implementation. These clinicians serve as bridgers or links between the clinical world and the IT world. They have a deep understanding of clinical workflows, since this is the world in which they live and provide care. They have credibility with other users since they understand the problems that users face in the clinical environment, and they can help translate the needs of the end user to the IT technical teams. These internal experts are called a variety of names depending on the particular role that they play in their organizations. These roles may be informal or formalized. Internal consultants are drawn from bedside users to assist with training and implementation, and many of them have ongoing roles well beyond system implementation. Most often, their primary responsibilities include serving as champions and promoting IT adoption, assisting with and reinforcing training, assisting with policy and procedure development, and serving as liaisons between clinical and IT personnel. In some instances, their roles extend to ongoing competency testing and quality oversight of use of the EHR. Internal consultants can have formal or informal structures. For example, some organizations set up standing super users or clinical informatics committees or advisory councils. Others have formal internal support pool structures that are activated on an as-needed basis. Some integrate super users into clinical help desk roles that complement IT help desk functions. In many instances, no formal structures exist, and users merely recognize those who have more expertise in use of the system than the general population of users. Gruber and colleagues conducted a systematic literature review on factors that influence the outcomes of HIT implementation and reached the following conclusions. First, it's not possible to design a single implementation strategy that works in all settings. Next, the highest number of factors influencing success or failure was reported during implementation and system go-live. End-user support, or lack thereof, was a significant factor in both successful and failed implementations. Finally, long-term attention to end-user training and support is the key to data quality. Andre and colleagues conducted a qualitative study of EHR implementation palliative care settings and reported that all the respondents wanted a resource person, and the expectations regarding this person differed. This person had to be present on the unit to provide at-the-elbow support. The person could be able to provide quick help and should be a driving force. The person should also be responsible for training and teaching. They concluded that for implementation to be successful, there's a need for skilled and motivated key personnel. In summary, there's no single best way to implement HIT. Organizational, clinical unit, and individual contextual factors are important for HIT implementation planning. End-user education and support is critical to success. Long-term end-user training and support drive quality.